I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about the key to the treasure. Isaiah 33:6 says that God will be this rich store of wisdom and knowledge, and it says that the key to the treasure is the fear of the Lord. So we're going to be taking a look at this concept of the fear of the Lord today, because it is the key to the treasure. Turn off the notifications on my computer here. The fear of the Lord is the key to the treasure. So let's get started with prayer, and then we're going to take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer. If you're new to us here, these daily communions, the way that we do this is every day we have a short teaching, and then we take communion with that, where we're receiving this teaching and the promises that God has for us. We're meditating on his steadfast love. But before we get into that, we take a couple minutes to pray and to examine ourselves, to listen and to plan our day with God. And then it's about going about your day, executing, doing the things that you know to do, trusting that God is with you as you go about your day. And the prayer that we start with, our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, this is mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez. This is the prayer that I pray over myself and all those connected to me every day. And it leads us into our time of examination. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. But most importantly, starting with the people right around us. We ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so let's go through the other half of prayer. The first thing we want to do every time we go through this is positioning our minds focused on the light. God's released us from the darkness, transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of his dear Son. And remember this, you can be focused in life on the light, what's going well, things you're grateful for, ways God's showing up in your life, focused on God, or you can be focused on the darkness. You can be focused on darkness, evil, all the things that are going wrong, things to complain about. And whichever one you are focused on, you're going to see it grow in your life. So the first thing we always want to do is position our minds just on the light, positioning our minds on the light. And so we could start with, what are things over the last day that you are grateful for? What are your wins? What are your testimonies? The things you're grateful for, the ways you're seeing God show up in your life over the last day. And then how are your levels of peace, just overflowing supernatural peace, peace that surpasses understanding? How is your level of peace over the last 24 hours? And peace is our indicator. What I've learned in my own case is that peace is our indicator, that we are single-minded, that we are in faith, we're focused on the light first, we're in faith and we're single-minded that God is with me, he's for me, he's working for my good. And what I like to do personally is Ephesians 2:6, as we've been seated at God's right hand, We're with Christ. We're one with Christ. This idea of oneness, that's what leads to peace often. So I like to just envision myself sitting at God's right hand and one with Jesus, sitting there with him. And there's just this tremendous feeling of both peace and joy that comes on you, at least for me personally. And just envisioning that. And then it's about taking that feeling and going about into my day and executing the things that I know to do. And then as the issues and the problems and the struggles of life begin to come at you, it's about maintaining that feeling, maintaining that heavenly position. I've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light. God's with me. He's for me. I'm seated there right next to him. Now it's taking that position into our everyday life. That, hey, wait a minute. God's with me. He's going to help me handle this. Whenever health issues, financial pressures, time pressures, relationship issues come up, just simply reframing that perspective and say, you know what? God's with me. He's going to help me handle this. I don't have to do this on my own. And that leads to this tremendous sense of peace as you go throughout your day. And then it becomes simply a matter of paying attention. All right, if anything's knocking me out of that peace, what was it? And then bringing it to God. And just this very simple prayer that says, God, thank you that you are with me. You're for me. What you put on the inside of me, this treasure you put on the inside of me, we're going to talk about today, is more than enough to handle whatever these situations are that are knocking me out. Whatever those situations were, you're more than enough to help me handle this. Help me to cultivate this and to grow this so that I just flow right through it, keeping the peace, keeping joy as these issues come at me in life. And the issues may still be there, but you're going to respond to them in a completely different way, with beauty and grace and poise and ease and peace and joy. It's going to be your state. And then our next question, how are your levels of just overflowing joy over the last 24 hours? Are you experiencing God's joy just flowing through you continually over the last 24 hours? And I like to think of joy as my indicator of presence, that I'm living in the present moment, and I'm aware of God's presence with me in the things that I'm doing throughout the day. Because in God's presence, there's fullness of joy. Often, if I get dwelling on the past, worried about the future, it steals our joy. So living in the present moment, that's our indicator. Or joy is our indicator of living in the present moment. And then what do you know to do? Over the next 24 hours, what are the things that you know to do? What's your plan for the day? If you were to close your eyes and envision the upcoming day, what are the things that you know to do? And I like to put them in the sequential order that you're going to do them. And are you ever going to have a day that goes exactly as planned? Probably not. Things are going to come up that were unexpected. But now you have laid out the things that you know you have to do. You're more likely to be able to handle those things that are unexpected. So what are the things you know to do? Might be some administrative things, things around the house, things that you got to do in your workplace. But then we also want to get past that. There's a side of doing the things that I need to do, that I have to do. But then also, what are the things that you want to do? What are the things that God's stirring, that you have this desire, this motivation, these things to pursue in your life? And often those are the keys. Those are the cues that God's giving us on the inside to some of the bigger plans and purposes he has for our lives. What are the things that you want to do? And then our final question, what's the most important thing you feel like God's been teaching you or showing you over the last day? God's always trying to teach us. He's always trying to train us. He's always trying to speak to us. If he's present with us all day and he says nothing to us in a day, that means we're probably not tuned in very well. His voice is trying to lead us from the jaws of distress to a spacious place, free from all restrictions. If you're getting this habit, just daily, get in this rhythm with him. Last night on our partner Zoom call, we're talking about the importance of what I call rhythm knowledge. But one of the greatest ways to grow in the knowledge of God, where you know God better, is just getting into a good rhythm with him. And part of that rhythm is just taking the time to get still and to listen for a few minutes each day. Doesn't take long, just a few minutes to stay tuned into him, to connect with him, and stay with him in the present moment as you go about your day. And just write these things down day by day. And it's going to start stacking one lesson on top of the next. And he's going to lead you to a beautiful place. So last night on our partner Zoom call, we were talking about this idea of rhythm knowledge. And we're talking about just the last couple of days of daily communions and partner Zooms and things like that. We'll kind of recap real quick here. But, you know, our target in life is to make other people great. The whole program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, started for me with Proverbs 13:22, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that I could pass on to future generations? And the answer to that is wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge of knowing what to do and how to live. And God is the source of that. Colossians 2:3, we talked about it yesterday, that God, or that Jesus, in him, in Christ, are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God is the source of wisdom and knowledge. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God, but do so what? Single-minded, not double-minded. Ask in faith, single-minded, trusting that he's with you. He wants to give you the answers. And so in Christ, all these treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in there. If we're going to make other people great, it's going to require some wisdom. It's going to require some knowledge of what to do, which way to go sometimes, what to do, how to execute things. It's going to require that if we're going to make other people great. And what's the fruit of making other people great? As we make other people great, God's grace begins to flow through you, and it brings life to you in the process. So you benefit from it in the process. If you've set your goal, you set your intention to make other people great, God's going to take you on this path to make you fruitful, to multiply you into other people, and to increase you greatly so that you become the servant of many. That's the path I believe God's going to take you on if you set this intention of making other people great. So in the Abundant Life Blueprint, I was seeking for years, God, how do we know if our lives are on track? And I think it starts with this, setting the standard, using it to navigate our lives, setting the standard of making other people great. But then we're going to need some wisdom and knowledge. Now, it's interesting. Isaiah 33:6. We'll start actually Isaiah 33:5. We'll start there. It says, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. Then verse 6, he will be the sure foundation for your times. He will be a sure foundation. Jesus talks about if anybody builds their life upon me, it will be a sure foundation. He says he will be a rich store of salvation. Most people know he's going to be a rich store of salvation for me. We put our trust in salvation in Jesus and wisdom and knowledge. Jesus was made unto you. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Jesus was made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus makes you all of those things. He makes you wise. In him is knowledge. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But notice here, it says, the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Proverbs tells us, wisdom is more valuable than gold and silver and precious stones. It says to seek after that. That's the primary thing. And God is the source of that. And the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. And what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is this honor. It's reverence. It's submission. It's awe for God. It's this heart that says, you know what, God, I want to please you with my life. I want to honor you and please you. It's just this highest level of respect for God. Is there a side of God to fear him that says, I'm scared of him? Yes, for people that don't have God in their life, there is this side of him that says, I don't want to be scared. I don't want him against me in my life. But then there's this side. If you have someone who is in your life that is just constantly doing good for you, constantly trying to make them great, you want them in your life. You want to do what's pleasing to them. You want to live a life that honors them. You want to be respectful and honor that person. That's this fear of the Lord. That we do what we know to do that's going to be pleasing to him. So think about this. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 7, says, during the days of Jesus's life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. So this is Jesus in the garden when he's got all the pressure on him. He's sweating drops of blood. And he's saying, Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. What's he talking about? The cup of God's wrath that was going to be poured onto his body at the cross. All of God's anger, all of God's frustration. God was against him on the cross for a second. It says it pleased God to crush him. Jesus offered up cries, loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. He was heard because of his reverent submission. And although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the king and priest from the Old Testament that came out to meet Abraham. So it says, Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. He had this reverent submission. He was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus's goal was not to do what he wanted to do. His goal was to follow God's plan for his life. That's what we talk about often. Are we doing what we know to do? And then it says here, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. He obeyed God, and now our role is to obey him. Our role is to submit our lives to him, to follow his leading. He went through this cross so that we wouldn't have to. So now we would have God with us and for us in our lives. And now it's simply about walking it out. The fear of the Lord is simple obedience, I believe. This is the highest level, I believe, you'll see of the fear of the Lord. This is the key to the treasure right here. Simple obedience. Simple obedience, following his plans and purposes for your life. That's where we talk about. Are you doing what you know to do? Are you walking out the things that he's nudging you and prompting you to do? How are you going to know what that is? Stay tuned into his voice constantly. Stay in his word. He'll lead you through his word many times. Stay listening and tuned into what he's telling you on the inside. Follow those prompts and nudges you're getting in your conscience. When you get the prompting to reach out to somebody, to forgive somebody, to take a certain step on the inside, follow those things. That from this point on, we're going to walk in this fear of the Lord, this reverent submission, which is what? At its simplest level, it's obedience. Jesus says what? If you love me, you'll obey what I ask you to do. So we can say the fear of the Lord is this goal to love him. It's just walking in this simple obedience that follows God's plan and purposes for our life. So we're going to take communion over this. And every time we take communion, I think there's three main components. The first one is we're going to bring the sacrifice of Jesus into the present moment, making it active and relevant in our lives right now at this present moment. We take communion with the fear of the Lord. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. We're taking it with just this awe and reverence for Jesus and for God and what they did for us. So we're taking it with the fear of the Lord. That's going to be one of the keys to unlocking this treasure, just regular communion. That's why we take communion daily. We're bringing it into the present moment. And it says that Jesus says, believe you receive at the moment you pray. So we're going to be believing we receive this, that Jesus was obedient even unto death. He learned obedience from what he suffered. He had reverent submission for God. And guess what? We're in him. We are in him. We have this tremendous gift of everything that's been made available to us because of what he did, because of his reverent submission. Through the righteousness of one man, all of us can be made righteous. This bread is a reminder of that. So when we break the bread today, we're going to be letting go of our old ways. And we're going to break the bread. This is going to be symbolic. It's going to be a turning point in our lives. And we're just going to walk in simple obedience. We're going to do what we know to do each day, following God's plans and purposes for our lives. And it's going to be the key to the treasure. We talked about last night on our partner Zoom that the two big keys to unlocking this, fear of the Lord and getting into a rhythm with God. If we're going to do what's pleasing to him, we got to be in a rhythm with him. It's going to help us to know him better. John 17:3 says that Jesus says the definition of eternal life is to know God and to know him. That was Jesus's definition of eternal life. that we're going to seek to do what's pleasing to him. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. Thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he said this very simple thing. Take it. Receive it. Receive what? That Jesus makes you righteous. He makes you right with God because of his reverent submission. And we can receive that from him and begin to walk in the same honor and reverence, just like Jesus did, which was becoming more and more like him. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. In Jesus' name. As we take the cup here, Jesus said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Just take a second to meditate on God's steadfast, unfailing love for us.